Ultrasound Gel Podcast.
Ultrasound Gel Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Ultrasound Gel Podcast. Thanks for coming back. I'm Mike Pratz, and today I'm joined by Cray Bolger and Jacob Avila.
Good morning.
Hello.
All right, so today we're going to talk about sepsis. This paper is titled Accuracy of Point-of-Care Ultrasound to Identify the Source of Infection in Septic Patients, a Prospective Study. So this was published in International Emergency Medicine in 2016. So, sepsis. This is a disease that's killing people all over the place. And there's been a lot of emphasis placed on getting an early diagnosis of sepsis, early antibiotics, early source control. And now we're thinking, hey, maybe ultrasound can help out with some of those things. Ultrasound, we know, is very good at finding infections, whether it be in the lung or the soft tissue or other parts of the body. So this paper wanted to take a look to see how ultrasound can really improve the workup and management of patients with sepsis. So the questions they were asking is, what is the accuracy of point-of-care ultrasound in diagnosing sepsis and the source of it, and does it change the time to the source identification? So how did they do this study?
So this study was done at a single hospital in Italy in 2015, and it's kind of interesting what they did. So they did their initial clinical assessment, which included a history, a physical exam, ABG, and a lactate. Then they had to write down what they thought it was and what interventions they would like to do. And that was time zero. Then within 10 minutes of that clinical assessment, that same physician, so the one that had gotten all that previous data already, performed the point of care ultrasound. So then immediately after that ultrasound is done, then they did a POCUS implemented diagnosis at T1, and they recorded any possible changes in their antimicrobial therapy. So their ultrasound examination was pretty intense, actually. Because they did that whole clinical assessment first, if they thought that the patient likely had pneumonia, they went looking for that first. If they thought the patient had some crazy cholecystitis, they'd go for that first. Their examinations are pretty detailed. So for the lung, they actually did a 10-region technique, which is actually not that different from what we normally do. So they did two anterior, two lateral, and then one posterior on each side. They're looking for things like consolidation, things like focal interstitial syndromes, like local B-lines, presence of pleural effusions as well. They looked at the heart as well. They got all four of our main views of the heart. What they were looking for specifically in the setting of sepsis was the presence of vegetation on that valve surface. In the belly, they looked at the gallbladder, the biliary duct, the liver, and then they looked for any presence of diverticula, and they actually looked for the appendix and abdominal muscle abscesses. How many abdominal muscle abscesses have you guys seen?
I saw 7 in my last shift.
Yeah, I feel like I haven't seen very many of those, but maybe there's a lot. They looked for abscesses in the kidneys. They looked for hydro and ureterolithiasis. They looked for any joint effusions as well. So pretty extensive ultrasound examination that was done.
Cray, why don't you take us through the results? What did they find?
So about 200 people got a sonographic pan scan. The average age of these people was about 65 years old, and 35% of them had sepsis to the point of septic shock or severe sepsis. And in 90% of these patients, they actually found a source, which I feel like is pretty high. When we think about our average patient population, a lot of them go home with unclear source, got better in 2 to 3 days. So that's a pretty good gold standard, I guess, for them to compare their sonographic findings to.
Right, and that's after they did the chart review,
that's
looking through their
the whole
admission.
Shebang. Yep, so 90% of them ended up having a definitive cause at the end of all being said and done. So the most common cause for them was respiratory infections, which is good for the land of ultrasound. 23% had urinary tract infections, which seems low if I think about our standard emergency room population as far as all comers, all causes of acute infectious processes. And then about 20% had abdominal infections. They didn't mention any of the soft tissue infections in that portion, which I thought was interesting because another pretty hefty cause of acute systemic inflammatory response. So how good was ultrasound? It had a sensitivity for diagnosis of cause of sepsis of 73% and a specificity of 95%. So a pretty high likelihood ratio of 16. Accuracy of 75%. How good was our physical exam? Earmuffs for those who are big advocates of the physical exam. It did not perform well. 48% sensitive, 86% specific. Accuracy of 52%, positive likelihood ratio of 3.5%. So ultrasound outperformed the physical exam. How quickly did it get us there? 100% diagnoses in less than 10 minutes. 130 of the 178 patients had the source identified with POCUS per the study. So how long do the rest of our workups take? The majority of them come in less than 6 hours. That's good, I guess. But very rarely, less than 25% came in less than an hour. So ultrasound is making this diagnosis, according to this study, 100% of the time in less than 10 minutes. And the standard workup at best took less than an hour. More often than not, took in the 2 to 6 hour range. So I guess the next question is, given the lack of accuracy of their clinical gestalt, 52%, when they did this ultrasound and got a diagnosis at 10 minutes, did it change what antibiotics they were going to use? And in 25% of the cases, or about 25% of the cases, it did. This is probably not in the land of vancomycin and piperacillin and tazobactam, I'm guessing, where everybody gets the things that kill all things.
It's the like only a waterfall one they, of yeah. antibiotics. If they come in and they're diagnosed with sepsis, they go through like this falls where they just pour the vancomycin.
In the waiting room.
That's right.
It goes with the Haldol Ativan mist out there.
That's right.
So the only case where the antibiotic choice was not changed correctly was the case of malaria.
That malaria will get you.
So when they asked the practitioners if they, what depending on their prelim diagnosis compared to their POCUS diagnosis, 20% of the time POCUS helped them come up with the diagnosis. So those would be those unidentified sources and come up with a better control strategy, whether it be definitive care such as surgery or change in antibiotics.
I thought that was especially impressive, that a quarter of the time it changed the diagnosis, not just changed the diagnosis, but changed the antibiotics. And when they went through the chart review and checked, it was actually the right choice to make, which was encouraging. And then to also 20% of the time change the source control, whether it was like a surgery or procedure, that also, to me, is a pretty significant amount of time where it changes your management.
So I think this highlights some of the benefits of point-of-care ultrasound, but also some of the limitations. That you can't go in unbiased on this when the person performing the scan is also the one obtaining the history and physical, which may guide which scan you do first, how you're interpreting the scan. Maybe you heard some rails, they have a fever and a cough. You do the ultrasound, and if you were blinded, you may say atelectasis versus pneumonia, but since you've got the clinical gestalt behind you, you say pneumonia and say that ultrasound confirmed the diagnosis, not your physical exam. So I think that's one of the limitations of the study, is there really wasn't any blinding. They didn't really mention a lot about the time.
They said less than 10 minutes for everything.
I don't know. I don't know if I can get the order loaded up in the ultrasound machine in less than 10 minutes. That's a little bit challenging if you think about a 10-view lung window, at least 4-view cardiac if you're going to use that for your septic shock. And again, this is beyond just looking for the source of sepsis, but actually the management of the patient. A full abdominal scan, finding the appendix and gallbladder in less than 10 minutes, and then the entirety of the soft tissue of the human. So I think there are some limitations. I think things like ureterolithiasis, pyelonephritis, acute uncomplicated cystitis, ultrasound really isn't the go-to for the diagnosis for these. And so I have some questions about how they applied that to come up with the ultimate diagnosis. In this patient population, you know, did you have a high suspicion ahead of time? The bladder wall looked thick, so you decided it was cystitis and then got your urine back and were right. Again, this is an unblinded sample, so my question would be, in some of those cases, did POCUS really change your diagnosis, or were you going to get there anyway? It just helped you confirm it faster.
Yeah, and I think that although we can, it does put some limitations on it to have the provider not be blinded, meaning it was the treating physician that did the ultrasound too. On the other hand, this is how we advocate for using ultrasound. I like that in this study, it was the way that we would use it clinically. Like, you're the one treating the patient, you're gonna do the ultrasound, use the information to help your management. So that is how we want you to use ultrasound. And so I liked that this was a little bit more practical in that sense.
I agree. I think the only problem with that is it does confound the data a little bit because you can't be unbiased and truly blinded with this. Also, these were super sonographers. They have skills beyond my decade of practice. I don't know if I've ever found an intra-abdominal abscess or some of these more advanced findings or malaria with ultrasound.
Right. Keep in mind that a lot of what they set out to do when they were doing this source identification is beyond what a lot of people would consider the scope of point-of-care ultrasound, especially that which has been laid out by the American College of Emergency Physicians. So they were looking for things like vegetations on the heart, diverticulitis, appendicitis, and a lot of times most people aren't comfortable ruling out that diagnosis. Possibly people could be comfortable ruling that in. So remember that what they defined as their normal point-of-care ultrasound may not be the same as your definition or within the skill set of your providers.
I agree. I think, you know, it's a great study, and I think it emphasizes, like you said, what we want you to use POCUS for. Sometimes you have that undifferentiated septic shock patient, and instead of ordering one of everything and waiting 3 days to get results, this is some of my favorite scans to get called to help with, is let's look in various windows, and if we don't find a source, let's move on to the next most likely. So especially the older people with very vague, nonspecific symptoms, this can be very helpful so they're not getting a CT of their neck, chest, pelvis, cultures, surgery consult, and, you know, waiting 3 days and getting their kidneys, you know, knocked out with the antibiotics we're choosing. So I think it can be very helpful in those patients to help focus your workup and maybe get your confirmatory test in a more thoughtful way.
Yeah. And one point that I wanted to just bring up about this paper, they were pushing this idea that if you use ultrasound, it's going to allow you to find the source more quickly and then therefore allow you to start antibiotics more quickly. And we know that starting antibiotics fast is better for patients. Well, I think that that may not be true in all of our emergency departments. At least where we work, antibiotics are started fairly upfront, regardless of whether the specific source is identified at that point. So I think that maybe the benefit is not so much the speed to antibiotics, but maybe having more specific, accurate, targeted antibiotics and possibly earlier de-escalation of those.
Antimicrobial stewardship.
Exactly.
See, POCUS hits all realms.
That's right. So let me summarize this. This was a study where they were trying to use ultrasound to identify a source for sepsis. And so they took all these patients with sepsis, they did their ultrasound, and then they continued their management. And what they found in this case of about 200 patients was that ultrasound was much more accurate compared to the clinical exam and history alone. And they found that the point-of-care ultrasound diagnosis changed the antibiotics that were given, and in some cases also helped change the source control strategy. So my take-home points from this article is that using point-of-care ultrasound in your evaluation of a septic patient is more accurate than your physical exam and your history. Ultrasound turned out to be fairly specific for most of these diagnoses, with an overall positive likelihood ratio of 16. And that using your point-of-care ultrasound can potentially save you time to the diagnosis and appropriately help you with your antibiotic choice. So thanks again for tuning in. We thank the authors for doing this study. Again, don't forget to check out our website at ultrasoundgel.org. You can sign up for our mailing list there. Give us a good rating on iTunes or any of your podcast apps, and we'll talk to you later.
More pressure, more gel. More pressure, more gel.
Ultrasound gel podcast.